Let's praise the Lord. Go ahead and praise the Lord. Those are absolutely true words. Absolutely true words. Thank you all. Let's pray together. Today we continue on what we're working on in the month of June. Okay? Is that God has called every one of us into relationship. And whether we believe it or not, we're going to be in relationship. We are birthed from relationship. And so God is a God of relationship. Now, as we process out life, a lot of us want to make God antiseptic. We have a temptation to put God way up in the sky, and He has these principles. And if we follow the principles, we get blessed. And if we don't follow the principles, then we're cursed. There's a lot of people, that's their view of God. It's just a moral code. And God's out there somewhere. But that's not the beauty that we have in Jesus Christ. The beauty in Jesus Christ is that God is personal. Amen. So personal, He gets involved in our everydayness. And part of that everydayness is marriage. And people being in marriage. Now, I'm going to pray today because guess what? This message is going to be fault. It's going to be fault for this reason. I'm speaking into a culture that has disregarded marriage. Would that be a true statement? We have disregarded the covenant of marriage. Watch this. Your pastor's not surprised what's going on in this country right now. I'm not shocked one bit. Now, we as the church need to decide if we're going to stand up for once in our lives, in our moment of history, and actually say, these are God's principles. God's principles are absolute. They are relational, and they're not compromised. And it doesn't matter if you compromise them in public or you compromise them in secret. They still have the same consequence. And I know I sound real old-fashioned now. Here's what I want you to know. Grace reestablishes relationships. Grace puts us back together. But after we are put back together, we must go live. We must be something. If you've been through a divorce, I don't want you to feel guilty. I want you to be redeemed. But here's what I want you to know. God never designed a divorce in your life. And everybody that's been divorced, if you look at principles, I hear this all the time in my life. People say, well, Pastor Steve, now what God has joined together, no person can separate. I said, I believe that, but God hadn't joined all this together. Most people that get a divorce, I ask them, I said, your mama warned you, didn't he?
Yep.
When your daddy was bawling profusely at the altar and it wasn't tears of joy, that should have clued you in right off the bat. Parents, I'm going to challenge you today to be concerned about who your children date. How many of y'all are concerned about who your children date? I am. If my daughter brings home a bum, I'm going to let her know right off the bat, now that's a bum. So later on, if she decides to continue on, I can't stop her though. Here, parents, here's what I want you to know. If your children want to hook up with a bum, there's nothing you can do about that. Except what?
Pray.
Pray.
Right.
But I'm going to tell her, that's a bum. It's not hard to detect a bum. If you 26-year-old male and you don't have a job yet, that's a good indication right there. That's a good start. See, I'm going to be straight up with you. I know some of your moms are going, well, my child's just tender and just a late bloomer. Lord, you 26-year-old and you ain't got a job. You ain't even got a bud. There's some principles that got to be awakened in this nation. I was talking to a group of these young pastors and they were all in their 30s. And they were all talking about all the bad things in the world. And I said, you know why you all can talk like this? Because you still live at home. And you don't pay bills. And you don't have the everyday rigors of life. So it's real easy for you to be philosophical. I have found that most people that don't work are philosophers. But the people that work say, wait a minute, I got to get down and make this happen. And he said, what's this got to do with marriage? I want to define, before I pray, one of the first things of marriage, work. Work. Marriage is work. Men and women do not naturally get along. It's the truth.
If I look at something on TV and my wife looks at something on TV, we see two different things. And so guess what? Together we have to work at how God has put this relationship together and what will emerge out of this relationship for it to be ultimately blessed. Okay? All you young ladies, if you're not married yet, I want you to listen to me because your pastor's got a heart for you. I do not want you married to a bum. And you ladies are going to have a hard time in this generation because what we've done in America the last 30 years is we've developed men that think like women. And if that offends you, you are one of them. And so I want to call you today to repentance. I'm telling you the truth. You say, how do you know this, Pastor Harris? Every football season, every new group of freshmen. I got to tell you all a story. I've had 14-year-old boys come up to me as a coach in high school and have a scratch on their finger. And that's major. You know why? We've turned them into girls. They're as confused as they can be. They'll cover your ears. So what I do is I grab their other finger and jerk it real hard. And I said, now, does that hurt worse than the other one? Because guess what I'm trying to get them prepared for? They're going to be married one day. Guess what they're going to have to be able to do? That's one. Guess what number two is? Endure pain. Have you ever been yelled at by your wife? You better have some endurance. Now, we got to put this thing together. And I want to pray that God give us a message, first of all, for every marriage in here. I want to pray boldly today in the name of Jesus Christ that every marriage in here, in the name of Jesus, is going to stay put. Amen? Amen? You're going to stay put. So now, guess what? As soon as I pray that, what's going to happen this afternoon? You're going to have one of the biggest fights you ever had in your life. And guess what you got to decide to do? I'm going to stay together. I'm going to stay with this person. I'm going to show you why that's important. And number two, for those of you that are yet to be married, man, here's what I pray. That God is going to lead you to the right person. And when you know it's the right person, when you enter into marriage, you enter with great hope, great love, great admiration, and you know you can make it. You know you can make it. I think that needs to be spoken into this culture. You're in a church that has some people here that have been married over 50 years. We have a lot more couples than you think that have been married over 50 years. Here would be my suggestion. Instead of seeing a marriage counselor that's been divorced 50 times, I would go see somebody that's been married 50 years. And I'd say, okay, do you all realize the people that have been married 50 years, here's what they've been through. But I don't even know how they made it, especially according to our cultural barrel. They started in a depression. I know it's going to blow you all away. Do you realize we have people still living that went through an economic depression without Prozac? They didn't have any support groups. They had one thing, the Church of Jesus Christ. Do y'all realize that the churches in America, guess what era of time they were built? The Depression. More churches were built during the Depression than any other time. Interesting, isn't it? Because people had to finally connect to something that what? Works. It's real. Won't let go. It's that real. Can you believe these people went through World War II, a global war? And it lasted more than 5 years. And there were more than 5,000 soldiers that got killed in it. And they endured. In fact, a couple of hours on Normandy Beach would sum up everything that's gone on in Iraq for 5 years. A couple of hours on Normandy Beach. But guess what they did?
They endured.
They didn't go, oh no, they've killed us all at Normandy Beach. We're going to run back. We're just going to let everybody take over. How many of y'all glad they went on?
Yes.
How many of y'all glad they didn't listen to everybody else? I mean, y'all, because you know what? I'm really thankful in my generation that this morning I didn't have to say, hi, Hitler, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you. Because they'd have killed me a long time ago, because I'm not going to say that. We got some freedoms we better look at. And when I talk about relationships this month, I want you all to grip into it. Now, listen, a lot of y'all already got this down. You got your marriage rolling. You've been through some hard times in marriage. You know how to work it out. And the reason for that is you're a little bit older, okay? Watch, Elizabeth and I have been married for 24 years. I expect to have a better marriage than somebody that's been married for three. Because I know where to say yes, ma'am, and I know when to get out of there. Okay? I've had more experience, right? And so I want us to look at marriage today from the viewpoint of what God has established. All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray boldly in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I want us to see the blood on that cross. I want us to know the power of that resurrection and center that in every one of our marriages. And Lord, let us know that you put us together, you bound us tight, you will secure us. Now may we listen to you, Lord. And may we be a witness and a testimony that relationships can hold together and not be torn apart by evil things. And so, God, I pray now in the name of Jesus that we'll live out what you've established in us. How many of y'all can agree with that prayer? That we just live out what's established in us. Now, I'm going to give you some principles real quick. First of all, I want you to go to Ephesians 5. I want to tell you how powerful this is. As I deal in all of our pastors, we deal with marriage. We deal with marriage, okay? We deal with issues. We deal with faithfulness issues. Now, here's what I want you to know, church. There's not a week that has gone by in my life in the last 26 years of pastoring that I don't deal with sexual immorality every week. Does that help you all see how prominent it is? Next week, guess what I guaranteed I'm going to deal with? There's two things I know that I will deal with next week. One of them is very enjoyable. I hope I see a human being come to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's very enjoyable. But guess what? Freddie, somebody's running around on somebody. It's every week. And some of you are going, well, by gosh, it won't be me. I'm old. Viagra. Viagra has messed this whole thing up. I used to could say, man, you know, they've just got old enough where the jet engines have gone out. Mm-mm. No, in our culture, we go get some new fuel. Watch this. Older couple's been married 40 years, divorcing because, you know, the husband thought he was young. Men, here's what I want you to know. When you old, you old. I don't care how young you put beside you, you old. And I just want somebody to tell you, you look ridiculous. Because all the rest of us know there's a woman getting that dude's money. So not only do you look ridiculous, you stupid on top of it. Now, hold on. Hold on. Y'all think I'm being cruel this morning? I'm not. I'm trying to encourage you. I mean, how many of y'all want to die and somebody walk past your casket and go, man, that guy's dumber than he could be. Look at him. He's 80 years old and there's a 40-year-old woman took everything he got. How smart is that? Huh? Here's what's even worse. That's not what Jesus has called you to be. Now, I want to show you how important marriage is. Ephesians 5. I have never in my ministry career, now somebody else may have, but in my ministry career, that's about 26 years of doing counseling, dealing with people. I've got all the psycho mumbo jumbo degrees. I got all that kind of stuff, okay? Been involved in all this counseling stuff. Never, never, what did I just say?
Never.
What word was that?
Never.
Have I seen a divorce where Ephesians 5 was in order? Never. What do you think about that, Chuck? Now, Bellinger, not one time. However, in every divorce, I have found Ephesians 5 out of order somewhere. So how powerful is that? Here's what I'm telling you. Stuff works. Now, here's why people don't like Ephesians 5 marriages. You ready? They're tough. Because we got to start, not at Ephesians 5, but the verse before that. And if you'll go with me, when I find my Bible, where did I put it? I want my Bible, honey. Where? Miss Ping, huh? Beth Ann? There you go again, just like being growing up, stealing my stuff. You ready? Ephesians 5, look at here. Now, guys, I want you to hear this. 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Marriage starts with this. I'm going to submit to you and you're going to submit to me. But above all else, we are submitted to Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you what submit really means. Is that your way, Jesus, is better than what I can come up with. That's what it means to submit. I want to surrender to grace. How many of y'all are glad that God offers grace? How many of y'all are glad that God is merciful? I'm going to preach just a minute. How many of y'all are glad that Jesus Christ is eternal? How many of you are glad that Jesus is full of love and He's full of joy and He's full of peace and He's full of power? And guess what? Check this out. When we submit to Him, now that is possible in our marriage. How many of you all found this? Most of the time you get in trouble. I know I get in trouble when I am hard-headed. How many of y'all are hard-headed? These are things that mess up marriage. I'm going to do it my way no matter what anybody else says. How many of y'all been in trouble at least one time that way? I know y'all find this hard to believe. I've done that before. I've just told Elizabeth, man, we're doing this. And she'll go, you know, that's not a good idea. I don't care what you say. We're doing it. And I've even Ephesians 5 before. You're supposed to listen to me. She said, yeah, but you're supposed to submit like the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ ain't as dumb as you are. You're fixing to make a dumb what? Now watch this. How many of y'all have ever seen this? I got to confess this morning. I can't even believe I got to confess this. I have looked back at my life. And 99% of where I messed up and made bad decisions, my wife told me before I made them it was going to be a bad decision. So I want you to see this. How many of you other wives have looked at your husbands and said, you know, this just isn't a good idea? Shirley, you ever done that to Freddie? Did he listen? Confess for him, Shirley. Y'all been together so long, you ain't going to come unglued. All right, yeah, he didn't. He didn't listen. Freddie, when you didn't listen, what happened? You got in trouble. Now, hold on, let me tell you why. Why, and I'm talking in love. Now, wives, don't misinterpret me here. I'm not talking about that hen pecking stuff. You out of order there. Okay?
Amen.
Like, if you talk all the time, you talking too much. Does that help you? Yeah. You don't need to be talking all the time. Haven't you women noticed how we men get irritated when you do this? Have you cut the backyard? You know what I want to do sometimes? Does it look like I've cut the backyard? So the answer to that question is what? No. So a better way to approach that, ladies, would be this. I think the backyard would look a lot nicer if it was cut, if you could get around to that. All right. But don't tell me 100 times, because guess what I go into? Genesis 3. I rebel. And then I let it grow another foot just to show you I can. See what I'm saying? Now, that's not what God wants in our relationships. He wants us to cooperate in submission so glory can come forth. Do y'all understand this principle? We submit to one another out of reverence of Christ. We submit to each other out of the reverence for Christ. Now, check this out. The way I love my wife, the way that she loves me, is a testimony of God's grace in my life. And then He gives us some order. The first order is this. I wish I had it up on my little board. It's a triangle, okay? It's a Trinity experience. At the top of that triangle, at the peak point, Jesus Christ rests in holy marriage. Now, man, how many of y'all are glad to know Jesus Christ is the ultimate point of you being together? Amen? Now, let me show you how important this is. How many of y'all realize we're going to die one day? How many of y'all have done the odds? How many of y'all have come to the conclusion, I'm going to die? Now, here's the question then. The question is not, am I going to die? Then the question for the human experience becomes this. How am I going to live? Once you realize you're going to die, then you can come to the question, how am I going to live? And in marriage, we ought to live with dignity and glory. Watch this. I want to bring glory into the marriage. You know why people don't want to be married? They've been to church. Some of the stinkiest marriages in the world are in the house of God. No wonder the world gets divorced all the time. They've listened to me. And young people are sitting there going, oh my gosh, I'm just going to live together. won't live with something like that. At least when you live together, you can get out of there without an attorney. And women have listened to men just be crass and cruel and disregarding and disrespectful. And all of these things are not what God has made us to be. Hello? So church, here's where we must stand. Did you hear what I said? Must stand as a church. Marriage must be blessed by God. And every one of us that have chosen to be married must be illustrations of God's grace in marriage. What do you think, Dr. Ward? That's pretty powerful, isn't it? That's a big step, isn't it? See, you got, man, Dr. Ward, you got some responsibility. You're married and you have multiplied. Got all kinds of kids. Watch this. I love Jamie because guess what he does? His wife shows a relationship with Jesus Christ, and his four children are showing that they have been encouraged by Jesus Christ. Now, y'all want to have a witness. See, we don't like this. Witnessing is the easiest thing to do. If all you're going to do is carry one of them Vanja cubes around or hand somebody a tract, that ain't no big deal. That's called broadcasting. A witness is, my wife looks like I follow Jesus. My children look like I follow Jesus. My career looks like I follow Jesus. My other relationships look like I follow Jesus. You start living like that, and people will come to know Jesus through who you are. Amen? Amen. That's how real it gets. And Jesus is really teaching through Paul in this Ephesians 5. Here's how they can know we're different than others who are without him. First of all, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then he says this, wives, submit to your husbands. Now underline this, as to the Lord. Note, that's very important. Ladies, not as to them, but as to the Lord. The husband is the leader, but not the dominant position. Did everybody hear that? The husband is the leader. Men, I need to hear you say that. And amen, let me give you something else. Do not let your wife define for you what spiritual leadership is. Because she doesn't know what spiritual leadership is for you. I remember one time I had to go up to women's ministry, bless their hearts, and they were doing good, but they'd all been in these conferences, and there was a big move on, led by women, focused on women, and these women thought they had the understanding of how to teach males how to be a spiritual leader. Watch this. That would be as foolish as us sitting in men's ministry telling women how to be spiritual. Because guess what? We don't know how to do. Watch this. Elizabeth and I are both spiritual by the grace of God. However, Elizabeth expresses her spirituality as a female, and that's much different than I express my spirituality as a male. You know, if she puts flowers out and we have little prayers or something like that, I just want you to know that doesn't connect with me whatsoever. Now, if she put a jar of motor oil out there, I can get Jesus. If you notice that the oil change, it really shows that. The men are out there serving Jesus. Man, they got oil all over them. They're loving God. They're out there joking with one another. And guess what? If the women were out there with the men changing oil, and the men joked with them like they do each other, we'd be in 6 months of therapy. We're different, both blessed. Now, wives, submit to your husbands as to the who? Because what is the most important submittal point? The Lord. We're going to submit to Jesus. Now, husbands, guess what you got to do? Watch this. And here's what submit means. Listen, consider, don't boss, engage, so we can decide what to do together in God. Okay, here's what submit means. Don't demand your own way. You really want to see your marriage blossom? Demand God's way. Now, you can demand something, but demand whose way in marriage? God's way. Now, check this out. Will your marriage be hot if you demand God's way in it? Because what would God's way be? Love. So you ought to demand that love is in your marriage. You ought to demand that joy is in your marriage. What does love produce? I've never seen people in love frown. Full of joy. And then you can be at peace. So here, I want you to know the order. Very simple today. Three orders. Submit to Christ. Now, wives, look, check this out. Let's see what it says in the Scripture. Now, don't hurt me. I didn't write it. You ready? He said this. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Okay, but hold on. Before you get to everything, what's the first submittal point? Christ. If your husband asks you to do something immoral, are you supposed to submit to that? Good. No. See, some people take this verse out of context. Guess who, usually? Men. Because they skip the next verse. And wives can't submit to their husbands effectively until husbands become the next verse. You ready? Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husband, step up. I'm going to man you up in the name of Jesus. In the same way, in the name of Jesus, man up. Husbands ought to love their wives. Now, come on, wives. If your husband is loving you with the same intensity that Jesus Christ loves the church, tell me about that. Amen. Come on, ladies. Come on, I want some of you liberated women to talk to me. I've never seen a woman turn that down. So guess who needs to step up? No, my bros got quiet. Who needs to step up? Man. Let me ask you, come on, just think about it. Just think about it. Come on, husbands. How many of y'all have ever had your wife get mad at you for being giving? I never have. Guess what she's been bad at me about? Being arrogant, being hard-headed, and taking. Wanting it for me. I mean, and I hear this all the time. Here's where our marriages are messed up. People go, well, they're not making me happy. Well, poor you. Especially if you're a man. Your wife will never make you happy. Ladies, let me help you so you can get off this search. God has not created a man that will make you happy. Whether you have one or ten, it will not work. And then we got this lie out there about marriage. How many of y'all are chasing the marriage dream? I think there's almost this illusion to marriage. It's almost like crack cocaine. Here's why crack cocaine is so absolutely dangerous. They tell me you take the first use of it, it is a euphoria that you can never get back to. And see, I believe ministries like James Dobson and others have created crack cocaine marriage. I believe that some of the most dangerous TV shows in the world were Donna Reed and My Three Sons. Because marriage never works like that. And we have a generation that really feels like they're going to solve all their problems in 23 minutes. Because that's how long it takes to solve them in the sitcom. And then we believe, I mean, how many of you ladies have ever mowed a yard with a push mower and high heels like Donna Reed? See, but we men, you all got to sin. Here's why that was dangerous. Men think that's real. We think stuff's on TV's real. We thought the spaceship on Lost in Space was real. We thought they really went to other planets. And we're watching TV, and here's Donna Reed, you know. She's out there mowing her yard in her high heels. She's dressed to the nines all the time. And you come in from work, and she's like all dolled up. Hey, how are you, honey? All the meal's perfect. All the china's great. And in our head, we think that's what? And then we think we're really missing out on something because we come home and there's like fuzzy, you know, shoes on our wife's feet. And there's like these moo-moo gowns and their hair's all messed up. And they've been mowing the yard, but they got a pair of jeans on and got grease all over them. And you got like a donut sitting there for supper. Or a granola bar with some water. And watch this, here's what we think. I got the wrong what? I got the wrong person or I got the wrong man. No, I think here's the problem with our marriages. We need to get the right concept. And we need to submit to one another out of Christ. And husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. And when you do, husbands, the glory of God begins to come out of this marriage. I'm going to stop there today because I think that's something we can remember. Can y'all remember those 3 points? First point, in my marriage, am I submitted to Jesus Christ? Submit to one another out of reverence for what? Christ. What's this? How many of y'all understand everything in the church is about submitting? How many of y'all realize right now that we could do anything we wanted to in here to solve problems? What do you think the reason is we can't right now? What have we not surrendered? Well, self. What part of ourselves, though? Huh? We love. We hadn't fully surrendered our love. Come on, talk to me. This is great. Now we're having church. Our heart. We give most of our heart, but not all of our heart. Yeah? That's a great concept. What else do we kind of keep guarded? Oh, we definitely keep money guarded. Why? No, let me help you with all this. Let's get down to the bottom line. We really believe it's going to save us. I mean, that's why we hold on to it. We really believe that one day we're going to die and say, God, did you check my accounts? I was a successful human being. I made it. I'm a success. I'm telling you, we believe this stuff. But we don't believe that. We believe it's ours. See, Laura, conceptually, I understand that that's a great Sunday school answer. But I want you to know right now in the Church of America, 98% of God's resources are in the believer's pockets in the United States of America. And right now, every denomination, except some independent churches, are in decline. But guess what? We don't. But Andy, I don't care about that, man. I'm getting by. My marriage is good. My kids are good. To the hell with the rest of you. That's what we really believe. And so, church, let me tell you what. Our marriages are going to turn good when we submit to God. And we say, God, you know what? I believe me living a life that glorifies you is better than me living a life that glorifies me. And Jesus, how many of y'all have ever prayed this? Lord, be glorified in my spouse. I prayed that one time. I couldn't handle it. Don't pray that 2 days in a row. Pray one day, wait three, pray it again. But hold on, that's really a prayer you need to pray every day. God, be glorified in my children. What would happen if we started living like that? Y'all getting the intense here? Now here's why we submit to God, because we're going to live better than we would not being submitted to God. How many of y'all believe that? I'm not getting on you guys, listen, but I got to come in hard. And some of y'all are probably going to leave a church because we got to get down. We got to set the ship in motion in this moment of time, all right? This ain't going to work anymore in church. We can't just stand up and go, kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya, ooh-wee, 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 ooh. And then we're going to go, for God so loved the world that he gave his only God, so we believe in him. Hallelujah. And then go about and do our own thing. We've been doing that for 50 years. Let me let you into a great awakening. It's not working. So finally, we're going to have to do what God said. God said, you submit out of reverence to me. I've saved you. I've made you. I love you. That doesn't mean things that are going to be perfect, but it means all things are going to be possible. Make sense? Husbands, love your wives is what? Jesus Christ has loved the church. Ladies, if your husband... Eleanor, if George will love you like Jesus Christ loves the church, can you listen to a guy like that? Amen. What do you think, ma'am? Can you listen to a guy like that? Chris, Jim does this. He loved Jesus. Can you listen to that? Amen. Jamie, can Mildred listen to that? Watch this. Here's the big test. Elizabeth, if I am approaching you as Jesus Christ approaches the church, can you listen? Absolutely, she does. It's totally different. I know when I'm in line with the Holy Spirit, and I know when I'm in line with Steve Ayers. And let me tell you, Mark, we don't need any counseling help right now. Huh? How many of y'all know that? So here's what I'm asking you to do in your marriage. First of all, today, we got this altar cleared. Let's come pray for our marriages in our church. Amen. I wanted to take this day to pray for marriages. And guess what? Some of you young girls, guess what? I'm going to pray for y'all's marriage even though it's 30 years away. I'm going to pray for it. You know when I start praying for marriages in this church? When we dedicate those babies. So guys, I got to give you the vision. Guess what? Every baby you see dedicated, for those of us in this service, that will be a marriage in our old age. So I said, Lord, can I hang out to see that one get married? It's a good way to stay alive longer. Lord, will you give me your... And guys, I appreciate you because you all got this vision. I thank every one of you that have been married. Guess what? I thank every one of you. This is going to sound weird and give me trouble, a lot of my colleagues, but I thank every one of you that went through a divorce and you just didn't keep on getting divorced. You stopped. You repented. You learned how to have a relationship. You got focused on God, and you've been many years after you learned how to have a relationship. That's also a testimony of God's redemption. Now, some of you are going, is that biblical? Yeah. Talk to Hosea. Huh? Hosea's wife, she was a prostitute. I'm talking a loose woman. And guess what God told Hosea to do? Who told Hosea to do that? Because you know what? You know what I think, Eric? Pastor Eric, you know what I think? God wanted us to know that His love, His mercy, His grace, His restoration, His power is greater than the sin of a prostitute. See, that's how magnanimous God is. Isn't that cool? Glad God didn't give me that assignment in ministry, though, because I don't know how y'all would take it. But God was showing us what? I can heal relationships. So come and pray that marriages get healed. Come and pray that we not be judgmental, but we be relational. Amen? How many people you know just judgmental? How many of y'all have even seen people at weddings? They go, hey man, they ain't going to make it. They ain't going to make it. Lord have mercy, look at that. They ain't going to work. I usually hear that from old ladies that never got married. That ain't going to work. Well, why don't we reverse that and say, oh my God, please, in the name of Jesus, may that work. May that work. May that be healed. Amen. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't submit to Him. So today I want to offer you grace in the name of Jesus, not because I can offer it, but because God has already established it. Some of you are here today because you're supposed to be saved today. You know I'm telling you the truth. You know you're supposed to be saved. Now let me show you how this salvation stuff works. Guess what? We ain't got anything to do with it. Do y'all understand that? We don't have anything to do with it. I remember I was doing a revival, some of you that do revivals, Jeff and you all have heard this before. The musicians came up to me and they go, what do you want me to sing for the invitation hymn so that people would come down and be saved? I said, I don't even want you to sing. They go, you're kidding. I said, yeah, we're not even having a song. They said, why not? I said, because I don't like what you just said. We're not even having a song. I don't want to hear Just As I Am. I don't want to hear Softly and Tenderly. I don't want to hear any music from you. Because here's what I want to teach you, young man. You don't have anything to do with somebody else's salvation. And it matters not whether we sing or not sing. When the Spirit of God draws a human being to salvation, guess what? You're coming. That's why people all the time tell me this. Well, I'm just not sure. That's because you're not saved. And once you get saved, guess what happens? You know. It's like being pregnant. You can't be partially pregnant. It's always funny. I always hear these women go, well, I'm a little bit pregnant. You hang on, you're fixing to be a whole lot more. In other words, when that conception happens, what's coming? Well, it's the same thing spiritually. When you say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've messed up. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. The conception of the Holy Ghost starts your new life. And it's going to happen. Amen? And y'all been beautiful today. Did this make sense today? I hope I hadn't ran it. I want you. And Courtney, I'm glad to see a beautiful young woman like you clapping, because guess what your pastor wants for you? I want you to marry a godly man. So don't you bring no wimp in here for me to marry you, because guess what I'm going to do? He's either going to get saved or leave. No, we need some of you men to start acting like that to these young ladies. Wait a minute, how many of you men know where a bum is? And how many of you women know that woman's not good for it? What's it? My mama, gentle, loving, most loving, gentle, peaceful woman I've ever seen in my life. I was dating this girl that she did not approve of. She said, that is not in order with your thinking. Which was a very nice way of saying, get out. You know what my mama did to me? I was telling this girl goodbye in Warren Central's parking lot. This is my mama. She never does stuff like this. And Elizabeth had broke up with me because I'd acted up and I was in mourning, so I was dating on a rebound. And, man, I'm leaning over because when I gave a kiss, I wanted other girls to know that they might want to get one of these too. And I was in a parking lot. And I was working this kiss, and the next thing that happened, this horn went off. And I thought, oh my God, Jesus has showed up. He has caught me doing something I'm not supposed to. I turned around. I mean, my heart was coming out of my chest. I turned back. My mama had put the bumper of her station wagon and touched me with it and blew my horn. And for the first time in my life, I looked through that windshield and I saw the wrath of God coming. Now, you know why she did that? Take a guess. Take a guess. No, let me tell you what happens to my mom. Every morning she wakes up and prays. She gets in the flow of the Holy Spirit. She's a Baptist, but she still gets in the flow of the Holy Spirit. Guess who directed that bumper up under my leg? It was not mama. It was the Holy Ghost in mama. That's why it was scary. Makes sense? All right. It's real, isn't it? I want y'all to have blessed marriages. I want you to have blessed lives. Brady, guess what I want you to do one day? Have a great marriage. I want you to have about 6 or 7 kids. Your daddy's got a lot of money and he'll help you pay for them, all right? We got to populate the earth with people that want to do it right. Amen. That's you. If you need to come to Jesus Christ today, He's already spoken to you and said, hey, you need to connect with grace. Young people, if you've never been saved, you've never been baptized, and you know right now God's saying, hey, this is me today. I want you to come up here today. And say, well, I'm a member of another. Listen, baptism here is not about membership. It's about confession and being baptized into Jesus. See, God's not going to ask you if you remember the Hillview Heights Church, but He is going to ask you if you remember the blood of the Lamb. He's going to ask you if you're part of the cross and the resurrection. And so right now I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm going to ask us to come. And I'm going to ask us to pray. And listen, not that you're old. I hate using the word old. I don't like the term old. I want to use this term. If you have had some experiences in prayer and grace in marriage, I want us to come today and pray for marriages that will submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's just what the Bible said. And number two, men, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus to step up and love your wives as Jesus Christ loved the church. And then women, I'm asking you to look at that man and say, you know what? I'm going to trust you, Jesus, with my husband to lead our family in a glorious way with God. And so right now as you come, I just pray for healing, truth, movement. Lord, we pray for salvation. Lord, whoever it is today, if they need to be baptized, may they come right now. Lord, I pray for this altar that we will not hesitate. Lord, I pray for marriages in your church that they're going to stay together in the name of Jesus. And we're not going to step away and we are going to be healed. And God, I'm glad you've been passionate in spirit today. You've been truthful, Lord, today. And Lord, right now, I pray that you just bless the houses. Every one of them. Every one of them that kneel down. Every one of them that stand up. Lord, bless the houses at this altar. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.